in John chapter number 20 and verses 30 and 31. Notice with me it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." The Bible is the best-selling book in human history. It is the most widely distributed book in human history over the last hundreds of years since the printing press. It is not only the most or the best-selling book, it is the most freely distributed book the world has ever known. It is the most loved book on earth and the most hated book on earth. The Bible is divided into two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament consists of about the first three-quarters of the pages of the Bible. The New Testament is the last one-quarter of the Bible, 66 books in all. There are 39 Old Testament books and 27 in the New Testament. The Old Testament books were written before Christ. The New Testament books were written after Christ. Of all of the 66 books in the Bible, and the word Bible means library. When we walk around with this book, we're walking around with a library of 66 books. Of all of the 66 books in the Bible, the most printed book of the 66 books has been the Gospel of John. Many of you perhaps have even yourselves distributed copies of what we call John Romans. Here's an example. The book of John and the book of Romans have often been lifted out of the Bible and printed in separate little books for distribution because many people have felt that these books will help people to understand eternal life and establish them in the faith perhaps as much or quicker than any of the other books in the Bible. Now, the New Testament has been distributed more than the Old Testament. Many times the New Testament has been printed up in different forms, such as this paperback copy here that we distribute freely, or perhaps it's a nicer genuine leather-bounded book that we might use for soul winning. This is the New Testament, the back one quarter of the Bible. And so the Bible is the most distributed book, but from the Bible, the New Testament has been distributed more than the complete Bible, and the Gospel of John has been distributed more than the New Testaments or the complete Bible. There are many times where people will just publish the Gospel of John. For instance, one of our men was recently over in Bulgaria and Istanbul, Turkey, Brother Josh Malucci. And when they went into Istanbul about a month ago, they found Gospels of John written in the language of the people of Turkey, and they bought, I forgot what he said, about 1,000 of them and distributed them on the streets of Istanbul. John Romans are distributed widely. I can remember a time where I and Brother Carlos Demarest, God bless him, he's in heaven now, but we went across the border from El Paso into Juarez, and we had 1,500 copies of the Gospel of John and Romans in Spanish, and we stood in the big city of square of Juarez and distributed those in about an hour, hour and a half, and they were all gone. What I'm saying to you today is that the book that you are looking at today, the Gospel of John, is the most widely distributed and read book in human history. This book right here that we just read And this verse tells us why it was written. Verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The Gospel of John also contains the most famous scripture ever memorized in human history. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm amazed at how many unsaved people I know of who can quote that verse. It is the most quoted verse of scripture in all of the world. And so I want to speak to you for a little bit this morning on the subject of begin your new life with the Gospel of John. Begin your new life with the Gospel of John. Now, by new life, I mean this. Some of you have recently received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he said in this book, in John chapter 10, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The Lord came to give you eternal life and an abundant life. It is a new life that you have since you are saved. The writer Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's like getting a brand new start in life when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that is what I mean by new life today if you are recently saved. Or perhaps by new life we could refer to those who have been saved for a while but for some reason have never yet started their life of Bible study. Their life of Bible study. I have met people who have been saved for years and years and years, truly born again, truly having received Christ as their Savior, but have not yet become a Bible student. The Bible says of itself, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are supposed to study the Bible. In this book that we're reading today, John, it says in chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So Jesus taught us to search the Scriptures. So maybe you've been saved for a year, or 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. Believe it or not, I meet people like that all the time. "I've been saved for 10 years. I've never really studied the Bible. Pastor, where should I start? How should I start?" I want to say to you this morning, begin your new life with the Gospel of John. I have always heard that advice given in the 38 years that I've been in Christ. I've always heard wise people, wise men, wise women who are elder than me in Christ say, "Start with the book of John. Start with the book of John. Start with the book of John." I can remember hearing that myself. Don't start in Genesis. Don't start in Hebrews. Don't start in Leviticus. Don't start in 1 Chronicles. All right? Don't start in Numbers. And you got to be careful and cautious. Don't start in Revelation. Try to figure out all the last times. But I have always heard wise people, wiser than me, wiser men and wiser women, always give that advice. Start with the Gospel of John. Start with the Gospel of John. Start with the Gospel of John. Now read the whole Bible, but study the Gospel of John to begin with. Now to read the whole Bible, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this. It's called the One-Year Bible. Many of us love these around here. It's the Bible broken down into 365 daily readings in the King James Version, of course. Don't be afraid of the King James Version. Don't be afraid of the old language. Don't be afraid of the these and the thous. God has them in there for a reason. And so many of the new versions, they're deleting words and changing meanings of words. And I would encourage you to stay away from them and use the King James Bible. One of the more famous Bibles that came out in the 70s is the New International Version. of the Bible, which contains 65,000 less words than the King James Version. Well, I don't know who has a right to do that. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what the Lord said. Now, if we need every word to live, what about those 65,000 they deleted? Now, this is a paperback Bible, and we have to sell these for $12 because we just can't give them away. That's what we pay for them. But this divides up the King James Bible into 365 readings, and every day there's a reading out of the Old Testament, a reading out of the New Testament, a reading out of the Psalms, and a reading out of Proverbs. And then you go to the next day. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and so on. You get through the whole year that way. Actually, you go through the Psalms twice in a year. I love it. I've been using it for several years now. I think I'm on my third or fourth time through it. Now, that's just for reading the Bible. We ought to read the Bible just to generally become familiar with its themes. And the more you do it, I've been through it 30 times. The more times you've read through it, some of you have read through it more than 30 times, some of you less, some of you haven't done it yet. But you need to, just to get the general theme. I don't want to face God and say, I never read your book. And at the end of our journey, we're all going to face God someday. So get started. You can pick up one of these. Well, this is the only one we have left. But we'll order them on. Don't wait till New Year's. Open it up to October 1st tomorrow and start reading. And then just go from there. But read through the Bible. When it comes to studying the Bible, I want to encourage you to start with the Gospel of John. Now why? For three reasons. Number one, because John focuses on faith. Number one, John focuses on faith. The word believe in some form appears in the Gospel of John 90 times. The word believe. The word believe itself is found in John 46 times. The word believed 25 times. The word believeth 14 times. The word believest 3 times. And the word believing 2 times. You add those up and you come to 90 times in this little book, which is broken down into 21 chapters, short chapters, you'll come across the word believe or some form of the word believe, 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 90 times. Now, it sounds like God wants us to get something out of that, and that is to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why? It says in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you read the Bible, and as you read and study the Gospel of John, faith will come. That's how your faith is increased. The word believe appears over and over and over again in this small little book. And as I said, this contains John and Romans. Look how thin that is. Imagine what John is. I'll see if I can find John. 21 chapters. You can study it in 3 weeks. That's the Gospel of John. What I have in my fingers right there is the most widely distributed book in human history. Right there. Wisely so. Because between my thumb and my forefinger, you read the word believe 90 times. 90 times. Believe. See, that's how you want to start your new life in Christ. By understanding that it all starts with believing. It all starts with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does the word believe mean? The word believe means to have confidence in, to trust in, to have faith in, and depend on someone else and their abilities. To have confidence in someone else and their abilities. To trust in someone else and their abilities. To put my faith in someone else and their abilities. To depend on someone else and their abilities. That's what the word believe means. We had a man in our church one time who strapped himself to another man and jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. That's faith. The other man was a professional parachutist. I don't know what the name is for these guys. But he wanted to do it. And so they went up in an airplane with one parachute. And somehow the professional strapped him to him and secured him to his body. And out they went. And they free fell. And then the professional pulled the ripcord and out the parachute came. And they arrived safely at their destination. That man depended on someone else and their abilities. He put his trust in someone else and their abilities. I mean, if that guy, if he had said, have you ever done this before? No, I haven't. Have you? No. Well, let's see what happens. It's not going to happen. But this fellow had done it over and over and over and over and over again. He was a professional. Now, fortunately, there's not so much physical fear in us getting saved as there would be jumping out of an airplane. But that professional secured that other man to himself. And that man had to put his complete trust in that other fella and his abilities and in the integrity of the parachute. And getting saved is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not you holding on to him, it's him holding on to you and taking you securely to your destination. Jesus said in this book, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said that if we are in him, we are secure. He that cometh to me, he said in John, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that great? No wise. I'll never cast them out. That's called eternal security. It comes by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your complete dependency, saying, Jesus, I can't save myself. It's like the guy, do you think you can survive this fall? Jump out of the plane without a parachute. I don't think I can survive that. Do you think you can survive it by trusting in me and securing yourself to me? I think I could survive it. That's what salvation is. And that's the message the new believer is going to get by studying the book of John. Believe. Believe, believe. Just trust in Christ. Depend on Christ. Put your confidence in Christ and his abilities. But he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose again. Turn for a moment to the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. And then I'll give you the second point after this. But I want you to notice in Galatians 2 and verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16, it says this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. See, a lot of people are believing in their own works, and yet the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are not justified, it says, by our works, knowing, don't be ignorant of this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. See, that's the message of the Gospel of John. It's the message Paul is trying to teach here in Galatia. We're justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. It's not, we don't go to heaven by trying, we go to heaven by trusting in Christ and Christ alone. Now in John chapter number 4 and verse number 39, you have examples. This is why we want to get people to study John, especially when they're new in the faith. They'll come across examples like this, John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city, notice, believed on him. There's one of the 90. For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more, what? Believed, because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Believe, believe, believe. They're going to read stories. Get those that you're trying to help in their newfound faith to study the book of John, so they don't live for 5 or 10 years with doubts and insecurity. But get them grounded and established. Believe. Look at chapter 5 and verse 49. John 5 and verse... there is no John 5, 49. I guess we won't look at that. Let me give you a second point. Number 2, John focuses on eternal life. Number 1, John focuses on believing. And then number 2, John focuses on eternal life. Our text said, chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What kind of life? Well, we all got life anyway. I'm alive. What do you mean you're going to give me life? I'm alive. No, we're talking about a different life, eternal life. Eternal life. There are 4 phrases that say the same thing in the Bible. And those phrases are these: eternal life, everlasting life, life eternal, and life everlasting. The phrase eternal life appears 26 times in the Bible. The phrase everlasting life 11 times. The phrase life eternal 4 times. The phrase life everlasting 4 times, for a total of 45 times in the Bible. 15 of them are used in the Gospel of John. That means 1/3 of all the times that it speaks about eternal life, it comes out in this book, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We want people to know that when they're receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are receiving eternal life, not temporal life. They are receiving everlasting life, not conditional life. They are receiving life eternal, not probation. We want them to know that from the beginning of their new life in Christ. God does not put us on probation. Aren't you glad? Because I would have broken those laws of probation a long time ago. Well, you got to go see your parole officer. Okay, here I am. Did you sin at all today? Yes. Well, too bad. You're lost again. Now, I'm glad it's not that way. I'm glad it's not that way. The Lord saved us. He saved us forever. The Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means when I got saved, God took his pen and set it down and is never written on my account again. He never puts to my account sin. I've still sinned since I've been saved, but he doesn't write it anymore. He will not impute to the believer in Jesus Christ his sins. They were all laid on Jesus Christ, past, present, and future sins. Christ paid it all. He washed us from all of our sins in his own blood, and he gave us eternal life. Now, the word eternal and the word everlasting in the Bible come from the same Greek word. The word means without beginning and end, that which has been and always will be. So, in other words, when God says the gift of God is eternal life, he says, I want to give you a gift. When you receive Christ, I want to give it to you. Here it is. And you say, I'll take it. The gift of God is eternal life. That means that God then gives you the very life he has. A life without beginning and without end. And you don't ever have to fear. It says in Luke chapter 20 and verse 36, neither can they die anymore. Isn't that precious? Those that go up in the resurrection, neither can they die any more. When you received eternal life, God gave you the very life he has. A life that cannot be ended with death. In this gospel, as they read this gospel, they'll come across John chapter 11 and verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Eternal life. Everlasting life. We want those who are new in Christ to find that out. We want that to study. We want to point them to that. Not to the book of Revelations, trying to figure out all the last time and the seven vials and the seven trumpets and the seven seals and who's the Antichrist. And no. That'll come later. But when they get started, we want to get this secure. I don't know about you, but I spent about 10 years in Christ doubting my salvation. I just never got it nailed down. And there came a time when a guy did me a favor. He handed me a book one time called What You Believe, What We Believe and Why We Believe It. And I studied that. And it challenged me to get into the Bible. And I had to take... And I said, I'm not going to believe my pastor anymore. I'm not going to believe my Sunday school teachers or my dad or anybody. I'm going to study this myself. And I'm going to find out for myself. And I literally wrote notebooks full of notes on the doctrine of soteriology, salvation. And I can't tell you a book that has ever helped me more than the Gospel of John. So we want to get people to start their new life by steering them to the Gospel of John first in their studies, because John focuses on faith, belief. John focuses on eternal life. Look at John 10, just for a moment, and I'll give you the last point. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, it talks about eternal life, number two. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So study the book of John. And then third of all, study the book of John, because number three, John focuses on the personal love of Christ for individuals. John focuses on the personal love of Christ for individuals. Almost every chapter in the book of John, Jesus is talking to somebody individually. Yes, we know the famous verse, for God so loved the world. That's in John 2, John 3:16. But this book is about individual people. Boy, are some of them messed up. And Jesus just goes from individual to individual to individual. In chapter 1, it's Jesus and John the Baptist. In chapter 2, it's Jesus and his mother Mary at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. In chapter 3, it's Nicodemus, a very religious man, but Jesus said, you must be born again. In chapter 4, it's a woman at the well who had had five husbands. And she was cohabitating. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. And Jesus said to her, oh, woman, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. She said, oh, Lord, evermore give me this water. It says she went down to the Samaritans. She believed on Christ, and many of the Samaritans believed because of her saying. And then a whole bunch of others came out, and for the next 2 days they had a revival meeting in Samaria. And many of them believed not for the words of the woman, but because they heard Christ themselves. People need to read John. You know why? Because some of them have had messed up pasts. And it'll give them hope that God can still use them. That Jesus loves people like this. In John chapter 5, there's an unknown man that because of some behavior in his life, it appears for 38 years he couldn't walk. And he sat by the pool at Bethesda, waiting for the stirring of the water. And Jesus passed by and said, would you like to walk? He said, I don't have anyone to put me in the water when the angel stirs it. And heartless people for years and years and years left him And as he began to try to crawl his way to the water, he said somebody else would jump in before him and be healed. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. See, it's a book about individuals. It's a book about individuals. In John chapter 6, it's about Philip. Jesus said, we got 5,000 here, Philip. What are we going to do? How do you think we should feed them? Jesus knew what he was going to do, but this he did to prove Philip. In John chapter 8, it's a woman taken in the very act of adultery. And a bunch of men around with rocks in their hands ready to stone her to death. And the Lord saved her and delivered her from judgment and loved her and said, don't sin anymore. In chapter 9, it's a man blind from birth. Never in his life did he see. In all of his life, he lived with a guilt complex. And all of his life, people said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus came to the rescue and said, he didn't sin. Nor did his parents. That God could be glorified through the condition that I made him in. And God was glorified that day. God made no mistake when he made you the way he made you. If you'll yield and submit and resign yourself to God, he'll be glorified in your body, in your life. In John chapter 11, it's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. In John chapter 12, it's Mary the sinner anointing Christ for his burial. In John chapter 13, it's Judas the betrayer and Peter the denier. In John 14, it's questions that he fielded from Thomas, Philip, and Judas, not Iscariot, the other Judas. In John 18, it's the healing of Malchus's ear when it was cut off by Peter. In John 19, it's his mother Mary from the cross saying, go and live with John from now on. John, take my mother into your home from now on and take care of her. In John chapter 20, it's Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils, who she supposed to be the gardener that day at the tomb. He spoke to her and said, Mary. And Mary was the first human being in all of history that saw the resurrected Christ. In John 21, it's Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter? Follow me. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do something for me. Peter, if you love me, do something for me. You see, this is why we need to get people to study the book of John. Because it has a whole bunch of people just like us in it that God loves. That we may have been painted or bruised or broken. But the Lord passes by. And whether we're real up and outers like Nicodemus or down and outers like the woman at the well or the woman taken in adultery, there's a God that loves us and a personal Savior who comes by and loves us individually. Individually. He's an individual God. I know there's 6.5 billion people on earth, but Jesus has time for you today. He has time for you. Begin your new life with the Gospel of John, because John focuses on believing. Quit trying. Start trusting. And then John focuses on eternal life. 15 times, eternal life. I want to give you the life I have that has neither beginning nor end. Believe on me and you'll never die. And then John focuses on the love of Jesus Christ for individual people, men and women, good people, bad people. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This is why we need to get people to study the Gospel of John. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes now in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now for thy blessing on this invitation. And we pray thy blessing now, Lord, on this message. And Lord, these basics of the faith today, Lord, we just pray that they'd help those. Some are new in Christ here, and they've been saved recently, and they want to know what to do next and where to start. Where do I open the Bible? And Lord, I pray that, just like a library, you don't necessarily read every book in the library. You find one for the particular need, for that moment of your life. so with the Bible. And Lord, help us that our soul winners, and when we lead someone to Christ, to get them into the Gospel of John, and get that in their hands so they can read it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's so easy for us. It was hard on you. All we have to do is believe. To trust, to put our confidence and dependence in you and your abilities, and you can save us. The Lord is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Thank you for eternal life. Lord, some here are doubting. Some here are depending on their feelings rather than faith in the facts of God's Word. Lord, help them. And thank you that you love individuals. If anybody here thinks they've done something that has disqualified them from being loved by God, Lord, I pray you'd remove that untrue thought from their heart today and their head today completely and set them free from that. And know that Jesus does love them because the Bible tells us so. Bless now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.